I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories outdoors. Before we get started, I'm going to make a shameless plea for your generosity. There are several items of audio equipment that would really help us out, but that we can't afford to buy. So we've put together a holiday wish list for the show. If you're feeling especially big-hearted in the next few weeks, head over to our website, outtherepodcast.com, and take a look. You can purchase one of the items outright, or you can contribute any amount to a general fund, which we'll then use to buy the remaining items on the list. Again, the link to our wish list is at outtherepodcast.com, and we've got items at all sorts of different price points. Thank you all so much. And now, on to our story for today. When most people want to get away from it all, they choose to go on vacation for a few days. Maybe they'll go camping, maybe they'll go for a hike. And then there's the people who really want to get away, who actually choose to live outside normal society. Enter Bill and Linda Ware. The Wares run a sporting camp in the backwoods of Maine, right in the middle of the notorious 100-mile wilderness. It's an area far, far off the beaten path. Nothing but lakes and trees and mountains for miles and miles and miles. The only people the Wares see on a regular basis are through hikers on the Appalachian Trail. The hikers stop by for a shower and a hot meal, maybe stay the night, but then they carry on with their journeys. On this episode, we explore why people would choose to live like that, totally removed from friends and family, off by themselves in the wilderness. How do you keep from getting lonely or going totally stir-crazy when your only human interactions are fleeting visits from strangers? Don't we as human beings need more than that? Or can the magic of crossing paths with strangers in the woods fulfill all your social needs? Producer Stephanie Cohn brings us the story.
Hello. Our story starts with a boat. An old boat that putters gracefully through the idyllic Pemadunkook Lake.
How you doing?
Doing great.
All right.
This is awesome.
That's Bill Ware. He's picking up a through hiker who's turned up on the opposite side of the lake.
Hop in? Yep. All right. Yeah. Just go ahead and set your pack on the floor there and have a seat right in the bow. Awesome.
Bill steers the boat across the lake. We pass Little Pine Tree Islands and turn a corner. And then the hiker's oasis comes into view. The place is surrounded by maple trees. Patches of blueberry bushes and fireweeds line the shore, and chickens roam around the field in the center of the property. The camp itself is a series of rustic log cabins facing the lake and the mountains beyond. The hikers, they come from different places, but they all have three things in common.
They're all tired, they're all hungry, and they all need a shower. So they come in, we have a comfortable bed, we have good food, and we have a hot shower. So you can't go wrong.
No, it's a good break for them.
It's a good break. It's an attitude. We call it an attitude adjustment.
That other voice is Linda Ware, Bill's wife. The Wares are the reason I came to the 100-mile wilderness, which is one of the longest sections of the Appalachian Trail without passing a town. It takes a lot of hikers 10 days to get through, which is a lot. That's an extra 20 pounds of food alone. Not only is it long, but it's also notorious for its rough terrain, unpredictable conditions, and bugs. White House Landing Camps, which Bill and Linda run, is the only spot in that 100 miles that hikers can get off the trail and have a break. The only place to have a hot shower and a half-pound cheeseburger. So it's no surprise that the place is a welcome treat for hikers. But what intrigued me when I first learned about the lodge, what I couldn't quite wrap my head around, was what's in it for Bill and Linda? Sure, solitude can be nice, but the Wares actually live in the wilderness all the time, isolated from the rest of society. When Bill first bought the place, he could only access the camp by boat or snowmobile. Now, there's a dirt road, but it's snowed in pretty much all winter and inaccessible by car. Even when it's not covered in snow, it's still a 45-minute drive to the nearest town.
It's peaceful. No honking of horns. You know. You sat on the deck last night. It was very peaceful.
Yeah.
The loons, you hear the loons, and it just takes you away.
Linda was right. Within an hour of my stay at White House Landing Camps, I had decided that I never wanted to leave. Without electricity, cell reception, and the internet, the place had already cleared my anxieties. I watched from my cabin as Bill shuttled a new hiker into camp.
He can show you right where everything's at.
With a steady flow of hikers coming to camp, I realized that Bill and Linda were rarely alone. But still, they didn't have neighbors or a town, no friends they'd see on a regular basis, no social gatherings in the evening. All they had were hikers, most of whom only stayed for a day, maybe two. But that's it. It seemed lonely. Didn't they long for a community? As it turns out, the Ware's 26-year journey with the camp is complicated. Their story begins in 1991. Bill was 33, and one summer, he found himself exploring Pemadunkcook Lake.
Well, I stumbled upon the place by accident. I was self-employed, and I was single, and my favorite thing to do was get in my boat and go off and explore various lakes in Maine. And Pemadunkcook Lake had always been on that list of lakes. I finally came to Pemadunkcook, so I'm trolling, and all of a sudden, there's a moose, a cow moose swimming across in front of me. And I'm saying, oh yeah, here's a moose. He's swimming over to White House Landing. That's White House Landing. And the moose actually got up near the garden on the lawn. And I said, yeah, he must be going over for dinner. And I said, yeah, that's the lodge. That place is for sale. I said, $185,000. I'll take it.
You heard that right. Bill goes on a camping trip and ends up buying a huge piece of property. And with no hospitality experience whatsoever, he decided to turn a broken-down camp into a wilderness getaway.
I had rose-colored glasses the size of my head. But I was up for the challenge, and here we are 26 years later, and the place is, it's still a project and works. I mean, there's always something.
Despite the years of wear, Bill knew the place had potential. He saw the incredible lakefront, the wildlife, and the history. And the challenge of fixing up the place excited him. But there was something else that drew Bill towards camp. Bill had always loved the solitude. During Bill's first few years running camp, before the road was built, he would spend a month alone each year, waiting for the ice to melt off the lake until he could take the boat out and leave. He didn't have a satellite TV, so instead, he'd spend his days watching spring arrive. These ice-out periods, Bill says, were among his favorite memories at camp. Then he met Linda.
I met Linda just by chance. Like I said, when I used to go out and take my laundry, because we didn't have a washing machine in here, and I had to go to the Millinocket laundromat. And I went next door to the Blue Ox Saloon, and Linda worked in there. And I'd go over for a beer or lunch or something, and that's when I started to take an interest.
Bill looked for more excuses to do his laundry, so he could visit Linda at the Blue Ox Saloon. Then he wrote her a letter. It was sweet and simple. He said he liked her and he wanted to get to know her better. He asked if she'd come to camp for lunch one day. Linda was reluctant. She already had a boyfriend.
I was not an easy catch. When he wrote me the letter, I thought, what kind of weirdo is this? I did.
I know.
And when the first time I came up here, I brought a friend with me, just so I wouldn't be by myself, remember?
But I've been talking with you for so long, and you did tell me that was the nicest letter anybody had written you.
Yeah. I've never had anybody write me a letter like that before. No.
About 6 months after Linda visits camp that first time with her friend, she moves in. She says the place felt comfortable, like home. Unlike Bill, Linda had actually thought about running a sporting camp someday. Plus, she'd never met a guy quite like Bill. Someone who wrote her sweet letters and loved alone time just as much as she did. Someone who appreciated the solitude of the woods. Sure, it was scary to drop everything and run a lodge in the wilderness, with a new boyfriend no less. But all the scary parts also made it exciting.
I mean, you go out to town and you look at how the hustle and bustle, and then you come back in here and it's like a weight's been lifted off. And it just gives you a whole different perspective.
We've all experienced that feeling at one point or another. That feeling of lightness that comes when you manage to get away from it all. But actually living away from it all is a little more complicated. Bill and Linda were turning the camp into a business, which meant they needed guests, and guests were hard to come by. Turns out summer vacationers from New York don't exactly want to stay in a place with outhouses and no electricity. As it turns out, the solution was simpler than they expected, and it would end up becoming one of the best parts of their job. It started when Bill's dad sent them a postcard from the Appalachian Trail. "You know, you guys are right in the 100-mile wilderness," he wrote. "How about you try catering to hikers?"
And we put a sign up on the road at the trail intersection, and it said White House Landing, food, gas, and lodging. The next day, we had a hiker. Not even 24 hours. And to show you how naive we were, we had a 10-foot aluminum rowboat over there with a sign saying, that's us across the way, row over. And I'll be damned if there comes a hiker rowing. And he filled us in on everything that hikers like to eat, the guidebooks, medical supplies. And he told me, he said, "Bill, you get in the guidebooks," and he says, "provide a good service for a good price, and you'll have 15, 20, 25 a day coming through here." And I thought he was crazy. I said, "No way." He said, "Yep, you're in the 100-mile wilderness. You watch." And without even being in any guidebooks, just the word of mouth got us 400 hikers that first year we opened.
Eventually, Bill and Linda figured out how to run a hiker's lodge. They set up an air horn at the other end of the lake so hikers could signal a pickup. And they served 3 carbo-loaded meals a day. Soon, word got out, and they began to serve nearly 1,000 hikers each season. Over the next 15 years, they met some fascinating characters, people who kept the work interesting, who made the long hours worth it. Like Sherlock and Circuit Rider. And by the way, these aren't their real names, but the ones they use on the trail. In other words, their trail names. They were a pair of ministers who hiked nearly every year. Then, there was a man who carried his tuba throughout the entire trail. A tuba! And of course, there was Heat Miser and Quincy, also trail names. They were a couple who met on the trail and decided to get married at White House Landing. But the joys of running the place started to fade after 15 years of catering to hikers. Most of the hikers were great, but typical of any service industry job, some were high maintenance. And those ones really made life difficult. And even the good ones, the ones that the Wares made a real connection with, they wouldn't stay for long. They'd spend a night, maybe two, then carry on with their journeys. And the Wares would once again get swept up in the hustle of running the place. They moved to the wilderness for a peaceful life, and yet the sound of an air horn had replaced the tranquil sounds of nature. And the Wares were working all the time.
We were starting to get burned out, I think, a little bit. The air horn was blowing steady.
Do you think it drove you a little crazy? You're in it all the time?
The horn? Yeah. A little bit. In fact, if you're watching a sporting event and someone blows an air horn, the hair stands up on the back of my neck. They'd blow it long, loud, two or three times. Some would whistle Dixie with it.
On average, up to 20 people would stay a night. For just Bill and Linda to handle, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying scrambling 40 eggs? 80 pieces of bacon? You know? I was doing home fries back then, too.
After day, after day, after day, after day. Yeah. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Yeah.
We started to resent them, and we started getting short.
That's right. They were starting to resent the hikers, the very people who made their business possible. After 22 years in business, Bill's rose-colored glasses were officially off. It just wasn't worth it anymore. So they put the camp on the market and moved to Florida.
There was no better feeling than going out and putting a sign up there that saying White House Landing is no longer open for any services for hikers at all whatsoever.
Hey, it's Willow. We'll get back to the story in a moment, but first, a word from our sponsors. Support for Out There comes from Action Heat, makers of battery-heated clothing. I have to say, when I first heard about battery-heated clothing, I was a little skeptical. But then they sent me some samples to try out. Okay, I've got the batteries charged up, I think. So let's plug them in. So the socks have these little wires that come out of them. So I'm going to plug this in. Okay, then the battery gets tucked into this little pocket at the top of the socks. Okay, let's see how these socks feel. Wow, these toes really are warm. Like the minute I put them on, you feel, it's like having one of those little toe warmers that you can wear skiing, but like just built into your socks. In addition to socks, Action Heat makes heated jackets, gloves, hats, even long johns. Their products start at just $39.99, and right now you can get 20% off your entire order by going to actionheat.com/outthere. That's actionheat.com/outthere. Or you can just use the coupon code OUTTHERE at checkout. And of course, we have a link to all this on our website. This episode is also sponsored by The Great Courses Plus, college-level classes that let you learn for the fun of it. The Great Courses Plus lets you stream courses on virtually any topic: science, history, cooking, mindfulness. You can watch them on your computer, your tablet, your phone, TV. You can even listen to the audio version with the Great Courses Plus app. Right now, there's a special deal for Out There listeners. You can get your first month totally free. Just go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/outthere. One of the courses they thought Out There listeners would particularly enjoy is called Wonders of the National Parks, A Geology of North America. It explores each of our national parks and looks at the forces that shaped them, things like earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. Again, to get your free trial of The Great Courses Plus, go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/outthere. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/outthere. And this offer is good for a limited time only, so don't wait too long. And now, back to the story.
In Florida, Bill ran a fishing charter, which he loved, but the change wasn't all he had hoped for. Oddly, he and Linda still found themselves thinking about the camp. They missed Maine, the seasons, the nature, and the solitude.
Oh, sitting at that boat, it was a great spot, but boy, the traffic noise. Remember, there were days we were sitting down there going, oh my God, it's loud.
Crazy. I'm more a private person, so I kind of like, you know, you step outside your house down there and you look and see the neighbor's house. No place to escape.
Yeah, you had neighbors behind you. Neighbors beside you, and neighbors across the street.
Yeah. And the Wares surprisingly even still found themselves reminiscing about the hikers. These were people they hardly knew, people who were far away from their life in Florida, yet they still thought of them. A lot. Meanwhile, they struggled to sell, and while the camp was on the market, the Wares still had to maintain it. Bill remembers returning to White House Landing one October.
I came back and the weather was beautiful and it was like, what the hell are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we selling this place? And that's what got the gears turning, that maybe selling this place isn't the right thing.
So Bill started thinking. Maybe running White House Landing wasn't all or nothing. Maybe they could get rid of all the annoyances, but still keep the good parts of running camp. Get rid of the air horn, scale back on the number of people they took in each night, stop serving lunches. Maybe selling was the wrong idea. After 2 years away from camp, they took the place off the market and went back to Maine.
And believe me, hikers were really happy when we reopened.
Really?
And there was a lot that missed us when we were closed. We had people calling us.
Felt like old home days until we reopened and saw familiar faces. And then a lot of them would look at you and say, are you the new owners? I said, no, we're just the old.
They've been back for 2 years now. And with the business stripped to the basics, the Wares can spend more time with the hikers who need them. Not just for pizza, but for support.
Some are really hurting. Bad blisters, bad. I mean, they're just, and we just say, look, take a hot shower, take a day, because they want to go to the bus. I say, take a zero, see how you feel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, they will take that zero day, they'll take two nights off, and I'll be darned, all of a sudden they don't want to go to the bus anymore. And they're ready to get back on the trail. 5 months later, you get a postcard from them, they made it to Georgia. So that's really good when you see that it's somebody that you encouraged.
I was nearing the end of my visit at White House Landing when one thru-hiker told me about a common phrase, the trail provides. It could be a cooler of soda left at the side of the trail, or the sun coming out at that perfect moment. Often, it's as simple as someone giving you the right encouragement at the right time. The Wares play a huge part in that. They provide moral support, a warm welcome, hiking advice, and even the occasional ride to the hospital. This stuff isn't in their business plan, but they do it anyways. But I still wondered what the trail was providing to the Wares in return. They hadn't had a vacation in forever, and days off were hard to come by. They came to the wilderness to be alone, but still didn't get much alone time. Why sacrifice so much for a bunch of people who mostly only stay a night? And can these fleeting relationships really sustain a person? Then Linda took out her photo book. It was full with postcards of hikers celebrating the end of their 2,200-mile trek. One hiker poses with champagne, another in the dead of winter, and one holding a tuba. I ask Linda if she thinks the hikers remember her and Bill.
Oh, I know they do. I know they do.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because we get pictures from them thanking us. They write it in their journals. So yeah, I know they do. Yeah.
And you think about them?
I often wonder how they're doing. Yes. They're perfect strangers. They're strangers, but they're not.
They're strangers, but they're not. How many times can you say this about someone you meet at a coffee shop or on the subway or even a 6-hour flight?
You get to know them. You get to know them when they're here. So they're not like you're just meeting somebody on the street and saying, hi, how are you? And you don't get to know anything about them. You know where they live, what they do for work. You hear about all their adventures they've been on and what their family thinks of them hiking the trail, what they're thinking of hiking the trail. So you get to know them.
Like I said, there are times that they feel like family, even after being here 24 hours. Once they're here 48 hours, give us hugs.
You'll get one when you leave.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I think something shifted when the Wares returned to camp. They realized they were an integral part of the Appalachian Trail community, not just outsiders looking in. They mattered to the hikers. And the hikers mattered to them. And this made the hustle worthwhile again. We spend so much time searching for people that get us. But maybe it's not that complicated. Maybe all we need is to know someone is out there thinking of you. As the hikers carry on with their life-changing journeys, they know they've got Bill and Linda on their side, rooting for them till they reach the end of the trail.
That was Stephanie Cohn. She's an independent radio producer based in Boston. You can find more of her work at stephcohn.com. That's Steph, C-O-H-N.com. And now it's time for community classifieds. Our classified section is a way for all of you to let each other know about events, books, products, etc. that you think the out there community would enjoy. Our first classified ad today comes from Mountain Literary. When you're home planning your next adventure or sitting in front of the fireplace and you're wishing you had something new and unique to read, consider Mountain Literary, where you can find the Mountaintop series of novels by William Graney and a selection of used adventure books. Featured novels include The Ways of Autumn, which won a gold medal in the 2018 Human Relations Indie Book Awards, and the 2017 silver medal winner called Mountain Time. Book descriptions and links to purchase can be found at mountaintopusa.com. That's mountaintopusa.com. Our next classified is from Metolius Basin Institute, healing nature one person at a time through empowering you to let go of what no longer serves you and discover your own true purpose in life. The Institute specializes in transformational treks to Nepal, where they focus on themes such as false summits and embracing masculinity in the modern world. They also offer nature-connected coaching sessions. To learn more, head to MetoliusBasinInstitute.com. That's M-E-T-O-L-I-U-S BasinInstitute.com. If you'd like to take out a classified ad of your own, just head over to our website, OutTherePodcast.com, and click Contact. There's a super easy form to fill out, and as soon as we hear from you, we'll be in touch about all the details. A quick reminder, if you would like to take a look at our holiday wish list, you can find that at our website, outtherepodcast.com. And again, that's a list of items that the show really could use, but that we can't really afford ourselves. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Eggerking. Laura Johnston heads up our ambassador program, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. We'll see you again in 2 weeks, since we're now on a bi-weekly schedule, thanks to your support. In the meantime, have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.